Inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldview.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you this afternoon. Love being with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thank you for listening today. A lot of headlines to get to today. Crazy stuff going on over the weekend. And then, of course, today with the arraignment of President Trump. We will get to all of those headlines. We'll be talking the good, the bad, and the ugly, every bit of it, before the day is over. But first, let's talk about 8 Days of Hope and some of the things that they're doing right now, places across the country helping and being literally on the front lines, hands and feet of Christ for sure. Steve Tiber is with us. Steve, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, catch us up. Where right now do you have crews going, and what can folks do to help? Obviously, going to the website, 8daysofhope.com, can learn more and get involved, but give us an immediate report.
You know, Rick, for the last 9 days, we've been in Amory, Mississippi, which is a town is about 30-35 miles from where your headquarters is at in Tupelo, and where our headquarters is at as well. We've had about 800 volunteers from 33 states, most of them American Family Radio listeners, who've traveled the country, and we've been serving here in Northeast Mississippi. As you know, about 1,600 homes were damaged due to the tornado about 9-10 days ago, and we've been here since the next day. And so this morning we just announced that we're extending our outreach here in Amory, Mississippi. We thought we were going to pull out on Saturday, the day before Easter. Some of our leaders will take a day off and travel, you know, 2, 4, or 5 hours home to enjoy Easter with their family. But Monday morning at 7 a.m, we will be right back at it for another week. We have about 12 Bobcats, 3 lift trucks that can go 55 feet in the air and take trees off people's homes. We've been feeding people. We've had 2 laundry trailers that have deployed. They've been out for about 5 days, and we're literally just doing something very simple. Hundreds and hundreds of loads of laundry for families who've lost their homes but have been able to restore or grab some of their clothes. So we're just trying to be a light in a dark time for families, and just try to be a glimpse of Jesus. And again, we've been quite busy.
Man, oh, wow, unbelievable. And I know, you know, for those families that are, you know, literally just facing devastation, when you come along, it is literally God showing up and a miracle for them. Tell us how it works. Back us up a little bit in terms of the ministry itself. How do you guys even get so equipped to be ready to go in, and how can people donate to be a part of that? And then how do you get 800 volunteers, and then how in the world do you manage them when they come in? So I'm basically asking you to tell me about your whole life in 5 minutes. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, we started in 05 after Katrina. It was my dad and I and a couple buddies, and we were going to go to Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, to help a family rebuild their home. I asked to book an appointment with Don Wildman and Tim Wildman and asked them, would they play a free radio spot in Tupelo? Maybe we can get 20 people. Little did I know that they not only would play a free spot, but they back then played in 145 stations around the country. And next thing you know, we had 684 people come serve with us. It was our smallest trip ever. But during that 8-day period, we rebuilt 84 homes right before Christmas of 05.
In
a national ministry was born. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, I tell people all the time, it's like a stream makeover. But my hair is not that cool, and we don't own any buses. So there's no moving a bus and, you know, all that stuff. Well, since then, we have now responded for the last 18 years to over 60 different disasters. We've done about $70 million of work. We've rebuilt 9,000 homes. And when I keep saying we, it's really God working through his people. And so we're so grateful. We've had 50,000 volunteers. About 83% of them hear about 8 Days of Hope on American Family Radio. So that means about 42,000 of those 50,000 volunteers came because they listened to your show or Tim's show or Walker's show, and we're so appreciative. And so here we are. We have 211 volunteer leaders, a very small staff, And we have partners that cover our fixed costs. So when people donate to us, 100% of the dollars are passed through to families in need. We have different arms of the ministry, but the arm right now that's been the busiest the last 10 days has been in Amory, Mississippi. Also getting ready to move some equipment and some things up to Little Rock as well. So a big need, and a lot of people want to give back, and we're just a conduit. That's all we are.
It seems like there's no break, right? It just seems like, you know, one disaster after another. I mean, how do you decide where to go? How do you, you know, how does your team ever get a break? I mean, for you, it's, you know, these things happen to people, and it's like just, you know, it's your whole focus and everything. For you, this is every day of every year. So, I mean, almost a personal question, like, how can people pray for you to manage that well as a family and as a ministry?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. That's a great question. It's kind of like a pastor. You know, it's not 8 to 5. You know, our director of operations, Chandler Gurley, we were interviewing someone today for a position, and she said, you know, one of the hardest things that, you know, disasters don't come from 8 to 5 Monday to Friday. In fact, most of them come at night, or a lot of them come at night and over the weekends, and you got to be ready to go. But this is what God has called us to do. And again, when you have 211 volunteer leaders, you know, back in 2005, it was my dad and I had a couple of buddies from Tupelo, Mississippi, and now our 211 leaders make up come from 11 different denominations, all Christians. They live in 32 states. We have feeding leaders, and we have rapid response leaders, construction leaders, safe home leaders. You know, we build safe houses around the country for women and children rescued from trafficking. And so there are a lot of balls in the air, but you know what? I believe that God's got this. We're going to stay humble. We're going to keep it about Jesus, and we're going to do the best we can. And so to answer your question, whenever we go to a disaster, there needs to be at least 200 homes that have damage, because when we bring volunteers, God brings hundreds and hundreds and thousands of volunteers through 8 Days of Hope. So unfortunately, we can't, you know, respond to someone, you know, that has a community with 23 homes.
It's almost like triage. You have to pick, you know, and go where you can have the most impact. Yeah.
Sure. And we always find a partner church. Everything we do is through the local church. So this trip was through Meadowood Baptist Church in Amory, Mississippi. The last trip was Summit Church in Fort Myers, Florida. The church before that was New Life in Sarasota, Florida after Hurricane Ian. So we want to work with a partner church, because we're going to leave, and we want to lead the locals who don't go to a church to a Bible-believing church. And so that's very important to us. So if you have a church that you can call home base, that the volunteers can sleep at, and we can provide them with food and lodging. We have about $6 million of equipment, and so we bring in, you know, all this equipment, and, you know, we just watch God move, because he moves in mighty ways.
Amen. 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 Well, what about a person that's hearing this and going, you know, I could do that. I could go out for a week or 2 weeks and volunteer. I want to physically be a part of it, not just a donation, but I want to physically go. What do they do? Is there a training? Do you just show up? I mean, how does that work?
Sure. You know, you literally just go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. You volunteer. Now, on these rapid response disaster trips, you have to be 16, because it is an active disaster site. And if you're 16 or 17, that means you're coming with your parent or your legal guardian. Our rebuild trips, our next one's in May. We're going to take thousands of volunteers to Fort Myers, Florida. And in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, the goal is to rebuild 150 homes in 8 days, from May 20th to May 27th. So, you know, if you have flexibility in your schedule and you can come to Amory, Mississippi, sign up. We're going to be there till Easter morning, then come back Monday, and we'll be there for another week. If you can't come anywhere in the next 2 weeks, just sign up for our email alerts. Go to 8daysofhope.com, submit your email address, and we'll just invite you every time we go somewhere, and you can pick and choose. But like I said, a rapid response trip in Northeast Mississippi the next 2 weeks. We'll be in Fort Myers, Florida, May 20th to May 27th. That is our 19th rebuilding trip. 9,000 homes now have been rebuilt, and we'll be rebuilding another 150 or so in May. So there's something for everyone. If you can make a sandwich, if you can do laundry, if you can nail shingle on the roof, if you can paint, if you're a handy woman, if you're a grandfather that wants to take their grandchild on their first missions trip, go to 8daysofhope.com and learn more about the ministry.
I got to tell you, man, I haven't had a chance to be on one of these with you, but I've done one where we went out for about a week at a time and fed and cut trees and, you know, pulled trees. I mean, just that sort of help. And I'm just telling the listeners, you will be so rewarded. There's something about going out and being physically the hands and feet of Christ and meeting the need in front of you. And I remember the guy that took me, he kept telling me that because I'm kind of, you know, I tend to think about, okay, how do we solve this long term? Like, how do we fix this? You know, I'm always thinking in terms of policy or whatever. And the guy's like, Rick, meet the need in front of you right now. And that's exactly what you're doing. And it is so rewarding. So I just want to encourage people to participate and be a part of that. I guess you probably have a lot of people that come back over and over again, but nobody has to make a commitment for any more than just coming out for a few days with you.
And you hit it right on the head. You know, when you go on a missions trip, my first missions trip in my life, you know, I was a corporate leader, so it was more comfortable for me to, you know, make a donation to help somebody go on a missions trip. My first missions trip was 8 Days of Hope. But what I've heard from so many of the 50,000 volunteers that have traveled with us, they leave exhausted, but they never, ever, ever forget their time serving. Because, you know, the greatest sermon we ever hear that I've ever heard is the one I saw. People see Jesus moving, they see love in action, it does something not only to the family you're serving, but does something to your soul as well. And so, again, if you could pick up people at the airport, if you could deliver materials to a site, maybe you're good on computers and you could work at the front desk doing administrative work, or maybe you're a plumber, an electrician, a roofer, you've got a painting crew, come join us. Go to 8daysofhope.com and either come down to Emory, Mississippi or Fort Myers in May.
8daysofhope.com. Steve, God bless you, man. You guys keep it up. Everybody at home that's listening right now, there's something every single one of us can do, whether it's a donation, spending time with them. There's never a shortage of people that need help and places that they are going. Steve, God bless you, man. Y'all keep up the great work. There's so many people that want to do something and are even talk about do something. You do it, man. Every day you're out there touching lives. And so thank you to your entire team, all the folks that have donated, all the folks that have volunteered. We really appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you. And thank you, American Family Radio. You know, Don and Tim and now Walker and Wesley, and just continue to stand in the gap for the brokenhearted in so many fronts. And I'll tell you, we could not do what we do without your support. So thank you, Rick. I appreciate you.
And absolutely. Right back at you. Folks, right now, the website, 8daysofhope.com. 8daysofhope.com. Super easy. You can donate right there. It might be $5, might be $500, whatever you can do to give. You can also sign up and go help. There's several options and several ways to do that. And then, of course, everybody praying for them and their teams as they're out there for safety, for health, for provision, for all of those things. It's having a huge, huge impact, and every one of our listeners can be a part of that. And just so thankful that there's a machine like this that started from just, you know, one guy and his dad and having the idea to go do this, and now you don't have to go figure it out. You don't have to, you know, oh, I want to help. You see the emergency. You see that thing happen out there. You say, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. Man, here you go. Here's the machine. You just plug in and be a part of it. They take care of all the details for you, and you can show up and just help. Just a real answer to prayer. And believe me, for those families where this happens and your head's just spinning, your home's been destroyed, maybe somebody in your family's been killed. I mean, it's devastating, and they don't know what to do. And so when Steve talks about things like just doing laundry has a huge impact. Anyway, just phenomenal. Steve, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Have a great day. God bless you.
You too. All right, so folks, go to the website today, 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com is the website. It'll be a huge blessing to an awful lot of people out there that are in need. And like I said, just literally like, I don't even know how to describe this, where when you have a devastation hit, it's almost like you're frozen in time and you don't know what to do or who to turn to. And to have someone like this show up and be the hands and feet of Christ is a massive, massive blessing. And we all get to be a part of it here at American Family Radio just by talking about it right now, by informing people about it. But you as a listener get to be a part of it by donating or showing up and volunteering. So, you know, maybe you can't go this week or next week, but you can just kind of plot some time, maybe this summer or whenever. And trust me, there's going to be a place that Steve's going to be able to take you at that time to help. So get on their email list, make a donation today, get ready to volunteer whenever that opportunity opens up for you. You will be blessed. I'm telling you firsthand, and our kids still remember. This was 15 years ago when we went in response to a tornado and helped. It's just, there's something about it, being able to bless other people in that way. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
David, the son of Jesse, just an ordinary giant slayer. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. David's battle with Goliath is an epic drama where the little boy stands in God's power to conquer the Philistine giant. David didn't awaken that morning expecting to slay a giant. He didn't stroll in with an entourage after a rugged mountain range training camp like Rocky and Rocky IV. He was just a regular kid bringing his brothers lunch, but fully confident in God's immeasurable power. Though he saw Goliath, David never acknowledged him as a giant, saying, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dared defy the Lord of hosts?" When regular people are fully persuaded, fully confident in God's power, giants fall.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
Does your girl need a channel change this spring? Maybe her time inside has her feeling suffocated and negative. A few years ago, the hashtag #GetOutThere sparked a healthy inspiration in people to get outside their homes and explore God's beautiful creation. Even for those who aren't outdoorsy, research proves time and time again that fresh air, sunshine, and a simple nature walk can lower anxiety and blood pressure, boost the immune system, and much, much more. Linking up with groups like American Heritage Girls can be the catalyst your girl needs to spend some time exploring the outdoors through group hikes and meeting new friends. AHG troops are available in all 50 states. You can get connected almost anywhere. So get out there, girl.
We are all called to raise up the next generation of Christian leaders. Learn more about empowering girls through the love of God at raisinggodlygirls.com.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Appreciate you joining us on this Tuesday. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and thrilled to join you and talk about some of the hot headlines of the day. A lot of good, bad, and ugly out there. Whole lot of ugly out there today. I don't even know a nice way to put this. Drag queens are ugly. I mean, that's just the only way I can say it. I mean, they're just ugly. And ugly spiritually, ugly physically. It's just not pretty. Anyway, they are everywhere now. It just seems like that is the left's in your face, shake your hand, in your fist at God, and say, we're going to do what we want to do. It definitely makes you think of I guess in my mind, the image I always have of the Bible's description of Sodom and Gomorrah and just the flaunting of the distortion of God's creation, which is essentially what you're doing. When you try to switch male and female, you're distorting his creation. You're quite literally trying to say, I'm God instead of you, and I'm going to do what I want. And anyway, it's everywhere. I know you see it everywhere. You're disgusted by it. I'm disgusted by it. We don't like talking about this kind of stuff on family programming. But I do think there is a need for the old William Wilberforce tactic, where Wilberforce would take these ships, these little touring boats, I should say, not ships, these boats in the channel, and he would steer them over to a slave ship and literally dock right next to a slave ship, and all these people in their fancy clothes and fancy high society folks would smell in their nostrils the stench of death and disease, and make them realize this is happening in your backyard. This is your culture that is embracing slavery and allowing it to happen. And he would use that to wake people up. And over, you know, decades, ends up, of course, winning that cultural battle and ending the slave trade. In much the same way, you have folks out there like Victor Marx, a phenomenal champion for Christ, and rescues kids out of this sex slavery and all of the other horrific things that are happening around the world. His ministry is incredible. All Things Possible. Encourage you to check him out. But whether it's Victor Marx or David Harris Jr., some of these other folks that on social media are sharing disgusting videos. And they're sharing these things and showing these things to basically put it in our face, in our nostrils, to say, this is happening in your backyard. And it is. It's happening in our backyard. I live in Texas. I mean, look, I'm supposed to be in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Texas is supposed to be, you know, red, conservative country. We don't put up with any of this. No, it's happening here. Most of these videos that initially started circling the web were from Dallas, Texas. I mean, Dallas, Texas, where parents are taking their children to drag queen shows, where parents are letting their children, the video that went out last weekend, a six-year-old girl at her birthday party gets a dance from a drag queen guy. And I'm not going to go into detail because this is family programming, but it's disgusting. It's stench in your nostrils. It should be anyway when you see it. And so this stuff is happening all over the place. And then this weekend, I mean, of all places, CMT, Country Music Television. Country music used to be a bastion of patriotism and frankly, the gospel. I mean, it was almost every country music legend story intersects with the gospel. I mean, you go to, you know, Johnny Cash. I mean, you go through the, you know, George Jones. I mean, all of these people that had major, you know, difficulties in their life and got into drugs or whatever problems they had. But there was an intersection at some point with the gospel where Christ did something special in their lives, and their music reflected it. I mean, even Elvis, you go back to Elvis's early days and the style and the gospel part of that. But country music, for sure, just always still had that flavor. I mean, there was even the Brad Paisley song about, you know, you're not supposed to talk about mama and Jesus and religion and all that, but in country music, this is country music, and we do. It was just a place where you still got that, and you still got goodness and wholesomeness, even though you still were dealing with life and sin and all of those things. And now even country music has gone not only woke, but has gone leftist disgusting. I mean, the CMT award show had drag queens performing. I just have to let you think about that for a second. The Country Music Television Award Show had drag queens performing. Now, I don't know what – I didn't watch the show. I just saw some of the social media clips. I don't know if any of our country music stars had the backbone to stand up and walk out. I hope some of them did. If they didn't, then come on. Come on. Get some backbone. You know, where are the guys like, I mean, honestly, Charlie Daniels would have never put up with this. He would be speaking out immediately. And you know, Charlie Daniels was a guy that spoke into the culture constantly and was always willing to say, you know, that this is wrong or this is evil, and didn't care if it affected his career, didn't care if it cost him a record deal or whatever it might be. And we need more like that, for sure. You know, I think probably the Charlie Daniels of today is John Rich. I mean, John Rich is a country music star that has been willing to speak up and absolutely spoke out against this stuff as it happened. And you know, he's somebody that I think is, a Charlie Daniels of our day. In fact, he's going to speak at our groundbreaking for the Patriot Academy campus, because he has been so outspoken about what's going on in the culture and you know, once again, here we are, we're facing an entire industry being taken over by the left. I don't like being a depressing radio host. Okay, I don't want to just dwell on the bad and the ugly, but again, I do think you got to move the boat over to the ship and let people have their nostrils filled up with the stench of what's happening. But this is yet another industry, another institution in the culture that the left has taken over. And so we've watched them take over journalism. We've watched them take over education. We've watched them take over all of our media and entertainment and Disney and these companies and these industries that started from a place of supporting American culture, supporting, you know, I mean, let's go to comic books. You know, truth, justice, and the American way was always the Superman theme, right? The American way meant something, and it was a value system that was not based on self. I just interviewed a World War II veteran, 98-year-old guy, and to hear him talk about the sacrifice, he was at the Battle of the Bulge, I mean, just the whole story. Hear him talk about sacrifice and why he was willing to do it, why he loves his country, still loves his country. The difference between that and versus the narcissistic, selfish attitude of too many in America today is it's night and day. It's just so different. But the left, again, wins. So now they've won country music. They've taken over, I guess, you know, we'll see. We'll see how Nashville responds. But, you know, listen, I'm watching some of the social media, and I'm you know, we're watching a lot of these labels that are promoting these artists that are willing to do this kind of stuff. I didn't even know who this artist was, the gal that actually did this. This scene, this whole, you know, performance with a bunch of drag queens, but it's Kelsey Ballerini. I don't know. I shouldn't even share her name. I don't even give her any more press than she's already getting. But if this is indicative of the country music industry, and if the country music stars are not going to speak out against this, not going to be willing to take a stand, then country music's gone. We've now handed that over to the left. So what do we do in response to this, folks? What do we do when we wake up in a Romans 1 situation? We're living out this time in the American culture where we are now that culture that is not only tolerating this kind of deviancy and mental illness and all of these things, but celebrating it. Not only tolerating it, but participating in it. So we're watching the culture crumble around us. The American culture is crumbling. If you haven't noticed that, or you're not willing to admit that, and you're living in a bubble somewhere where you think this stuff is only happening in San Francisco, well, now you wake up and you realize, no, it's everywhere. If you haven't realized that, it is. It's in your state just like it is in mine. It's in your community just like it is in mine. So what do we do? How do we respond? How do we counterpunch at this point? And I use that term because it's a new book that that Floyd Brown has just released this week, and I'm going to get Floyd on the program because Floyd is someone that understands that Christ must reign in every area of our life. And so we're going to have Floyd on to talk about the fact that there has been this heresy, as he puts it, this heresy of this split between secular and spiritual life, that somehow there are parts of our life the Bible doesn't speak to, that somehow there's parts of our life that we willingly submit to Christ, parts of our life that we will gladly say, what does the Bible say about how I should, I don't know, treat my spouse, or how I should worship on Sunday morning, or how I should, raise my children. We tend to be like, okay, yeah, the Bible has something to say about that. But then we separate out and we compartmentalize all these other areas of our life, like how our local school district should operate, or like, for instance, our government. How should my local government work, or how should I vote? We think the Bible doesn't speak to those things, or a pastor shouldn't speak to those things because somehow that's off limits. Well, as Paul Blair says, Pastor Paul Blair, what area of your life, Pastor, what area of your life is Jesus not Lord over? Because whatever that area is, whatever part Jesus is not Lord over, that's the part you should not preach about on Sunday morning. Everything else you should preach about on Sunday morning. So following that logic, of course, the answer to the question should always be, not only for a pastor, but for all of us, what area of our life is Jesus not Lord over? None. There's not. It doesn't exist. N-A, right? Not any. There's no part of our life that Jesus is not Lord over, if Jesus is Lord. And so therefore, the answer to the second question, what areas of our life or culture or all of those things should the pastor not be preaching on? None, not any. It's all covered by the Lordship of Christ. And therefore, it's all addressed by the Bible. And therefore, there's instruction for every single one of us on every single thing. And so whether it's this mental illness and sexual fantasy that is, you know, beyond anything we thought would happen in our culture, that has a biblical response. There is a way to respond to this. And there is a proper, frankly, constitutional way for us to put a stop to this nonsense. There is a proper constitutional, biblical way for us to, again, have a society and a culture that our children can grow up in without being sexualized at 6 years old. There's a way to respond to this. There are things that we can do, both biblically and constitutionally, that are peaceful. There's a proper civil disobedience response if your government is forcing this on you. And there is a proper, just good old-fashioned citizens banding together and letting their voices be heard response that you can do in any community in America right now. I don't care if you're in a blue state, red state, what kind of community you're in. There are things you can do to make a difference. And there are people that are doing that. There are victories that we also want to talk about. So when we talk about the bad and the ugly, I want to talk about the good as well. And in fact, just had a visit today with a friend in Massachusetts that even in Massachusetts, there are victories right now in some of these communities where citizens have stood up and said, no, you will not sexualize our children. You will not take your mental illness and your sexual fantasies and normalize them for the children in my care, in my family. Now, maybe right now you can't win the political battle to prevent that from happening at all in your community, but you can start with your own family. You can start with making sure that it's not done to your children. And whether that means getting your kids out of the public school so they're not being brainwashed with this nonsense, or it means invoking your rights as the parent to opt them out of that kind of indoctrination and teaching, which is what is happening in Massachusetts. Thousands and thousands of families there are saying no, and they're opting their kids out. And I mean, literally like 20% of these school districts are saying of the kids are being, you know, able to leave the classroom, go to wherever they, you know, for the alternative so that they're not taught this stuff. So I know I'm rambling, but I'm just telling you there's a lot of responses that we can have. So we don't have to despair. We absolutely need to pay attention. We need to be eyes wide open. We need to acknowledge this is happening, which is why I'm bringing your attention to it. Whenever country music has now embraced this mental illness and sexual deviancy, you know that the culture is crumbling around us. And so now how do we pick up the pieces? What are the things that we can do as individuals in our own families, in our own lives, in our own churches, our own communities to push back, to counterpunch, as Floyd Brown would put it? And like I said, we'll get him on the program to talk about that new book. You can get the book now. It'll be available on Audible in a couple of weeks, but it's out to, I think, today, maybe yesterday. And then we'll get him on maybe next week and talk about it. But there's a lot we can do. And of course, what he's saying in the book, we talk about it here on American Family Radio all the time. We are a network that's all about action and all about giving you specific things that you can do to make a difference. And so, you know, we're always going to want to equip and inspire you. And I always start, I know I'm a broken record on this, I know you hear me say this virtually on every program, but I always start with, it begins with us, and you have to be saturated in God's Word. So the number one thing we can do is be in God's Word every single day. Whatever your reading plan is, have a reading plan. You know, if you want to follow along and do my reading plan with me, you can do that on patriotacademy.com. I've got the whole reading plan posted there, reading through the Founders Bible every year, reading one proverb a day, five psalms a day, and then reading through the entire Bible as well. It's just a great way to saturate your mind with God's Word. And then you never know what's going to happen in your culture, your family, your work, your life, that you need a biblical response. And if you've been saturated in His Word, boom, you've got it. You're ready to respond to whatever it is that's happening. So that's number one. You got to do that. And then number two, you got to build community. You got to have people that you can team up with and sharpen each other's countenance, engage in conversation and talk about these things. And of course, my broken record part, not only do I always say saturate yourself in God's Word, but then secondly, I say do a biblical citizenship class, because it will build community. If you do biblical citizenship in your living room or at your church, you're going to have another couple or 5 or 10 people or 500 people come over and be a part of the solution with you. And over the course of that 8 weeks, biblicalcitizens.com, by the way, is a place you can sign up for the class for free, or at patriotacademy.com. But that will help you build that community. And then as you build community together, you can tend the garden, which is what God put us here for. We're supposed to be tending the garden. Folks, the garden's got a lot of weeds right now. It's got a lot of evil right now. And it's time for us to step in and pull up those weeds, get rid of that evil, and restore our communities to places that we can raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
The crucified Christ? He's not here. This is Bible League International, and how exciting for you and I to open our Bibles to Luke 24 and read where the angel says to Mary and the others, you're looking for the crucified Christ, but he's not here. He's risen indeed. Now listen, most evangelical Christians in the region of Asia have never read those scriptures for themselves. Why? They don't own Bibles. Because of corrupt governments and majority religions that do everything to stop the advance of the gospel. But oh, the joy that comes to a believer when he or she finally receives their own Bible.
When I receive Bible from the church, and I really love to read and read it again, and because of those reading, God is really blessing my heart.
The other reason for the shortage of Bibles in Asia is because this is where Christianity is growing fastest in the world, but as many as 9 of 10 new believers are Bibleless. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20. Will you call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org.
Athletics and life teach us common benefits. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Whether you're working on that golf game or improving your average on the baseball field, you can learn life lessons. But more importantly, you can learn spiritual lessons. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross just so that you can have a personal relationship with him. Receive Jesus Christ now as your Lord and Savior and enjoy the ultimate prize of eternal life. Then you can do what Hebrews 12:1 says. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." A message from American Family Radio.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you staying with us. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. One more thing before I get to the Trump arraignment, which is happening right now. Apparently, they're in the courtroom, and this, unfortunately, historic in a really bad way. Another blow to the rule of law, another blow to, you know, the American way of life. It's evidence of a two-tier justice system. I get right back to that. One other thing on all the, you know, drag queen nonsense and sexual fantasies of the left and the Democrat Party that they continue to parade around, the President of the United States parading around these men dressed up as little girls. It's amazing to me how few pastors will speak out against this, and yet you get Kid Rock, who's out there literally shooting up Bud Light cans because of Bud Light's partnership with, apparently they're now promoting this man dressed up as a little girl, celebrating 365 days of girlhood. This is disgusting, folks. And Kid Rock is the guy that has to be the one to speak out against it. I do think that's just one anecdotal evidence of the unlikely partnerships, which is part of what Floyd Brown talks about in his book, to defeat this evil. So you know, Kid Rock is not someone that, you know, we would probably have here on the program because we'd have to beep out too many words. But he's someone that recognizes this evil for what it is. So while he may not, you know, share our faith or talk about the Lord in the way that we do, he's an American that loves this country and understands the undermining of the culture that is happening whenever you destroy the basic definitions of man and woman. And so I'm glad to see that. I think we're going to see more and more of those types of partnerships. We've seen an awful lot of folks that are on the kind of libertarian side of things that realize that the whole idea of removing God and right and wrong and religion from the culture, which libertarians were for, that actually has now resulted in a loss of freedom that they were actually not for the loss of freedom. They were for, you know, libertarians tend to be very pro-liberty, right? That's why libertarian, right? They're more classical liberal in the sense of that word, and they have always been just keep government out. But in the push to remove God from the equation, remove religion from the equation, they ignored the advice of the founding fathers. They kind of adopted the Thomas Paine model of what he thought liberty should look like and ignored all the other founders that denounced Thomas Paine for his Age of Reason book and his idea of not having so much religion in public life. And we needed to be adopting George Washington's view, which was religion and morality are indispensable supports for political prosperity. So if you want freedom, if you want a good justice system, if you want a good society where freedom thrives, something that libertarians want, then you've got to have religion and morality. You can't push that out of the culture. And so I think more and more people that have for the last 20, 25 years not been for the idea of having religion and morality in the culture are realizing the importance of having religion and morality in the culture as they see this slouch towards Gomorrah, what Robert Bork's book from the 80s talked about. And so here we are. We find ourselves where anything goes, everything's okay. Children think they're cats and literally are meowing their way through school, and the schools are affirming it by putting kitty litter in the bathroom. This is not a joke, folks. It's not a Babylon Bee headline. Probably was a Babylon Bee headline, one of the, you know, dozens and dozens of Babylon Bee jokes that became reality. And that stuff is happening, and it's all because we said there's no right and wrong. Moral relativism for all. Well, folks, if you have moral relativism, then anything goes. And so now that's where we are. And that's why you have drag queens on CMT award shows and all the other things. So let's get back to the rule of law. And because here again, anything goes. No right or wrong. Whatever you choose to do is right. Whatever you have the power to do is right, rather than there actually being a plumb line, a truth, something to measure against. And so when that happens in the rule of law, it becomes the law of the tiger and shark. It becomes whoever's got the power rules. Whoever has the willingness to use that power against their political opponents wins. That's what happens when you have no rule of law, when you have no concept of right and wrong, when there are no moral absolutes. See, when there were moral absolutes, you had the Ten Commandments. You had these, you know, the American system was built on this. So it wasn't just because people got together and voted for the idea of lying being wrong or murdering being wrong. It was the idea that God said those things are wrong. And so when we get together and vote, we reinforce that. We make sure our systems back that up. But it's not because we voted on it that murder was wrong or lying was wrong or not honoring your parents was wrong. It was already wrong. We voted to make sure that our laws reflected that. Well, when you remove the Ten Commandments, when you remove the moral absolutes, when you remove God from the system, now it's just whoever's in power. You can actually vote to change what is right and wrong. You can actually get together, and if you vote for a DA or you vote for a governor that decides that they want to be a dictator, they get to be a dictator. If you vote for a governor or a DA or whoever that says, robbing stores in the middle of daylight is okay if you are from a historically oppressed race or religion. I mean, that's what these Soros DAs are all about. That's why they're letting out thousands, tens of thousands of felons, tens of thousands of people that have physically hurt other people. Not just people that got caught with a quarter ounce of marijuana. We're talking about people that committed rape and murder and all kinds of horrific crimes that these Soros DAs either refuse to prosecute, or when they do prosecute, or they've been prosecuted in the past, they let them off easy. That's the type of folks we're talking about, and that's the type of a DA that has now convinced a grand jury to indict Donald Trump. And let's not forget the old expression I learned in law school. You can indict a ham sandwich. You can indict anyone for anything at any time if you convince those people inside that private grand jury behind closed doors. And remember what happens for an indictment. A grand jury does not hear the other side. The grand jury has not heard anything from a defense or a counter to whatever this prosecutor got in front of them and told them. It's a one-way street in a grand jury. You only hear the worst. You only hear all the bad stuff, whatever the prosecutor wants to say about you. And if the grand jury says, well, if everything they said is true, then we need to have a trial. Then you get indicted, and now you get a chance to put on your defense. So up to this point, there has been zero counterargument or defense for Donald Trump to the people that are making these decisions. This is why a DA is so important. It's so important to pay attention to your DA election in your local county, because that DA single-handedly makes the decision of whether or not to bring charges against you in front of that grand jury. This is probably getting a little bit confusing here, but my point is that once you get to the grand jury, if you have a corrupt DA like this guy in New York, if you have a corrupt DA that is willing to do a political prosecution, which is what's happening to Donald Trump right now, then there's no one to stop that DA from making this circus like what he's done with Donald Trump. And once they get into a grand jury, even if that grand jury says, no, you're crazy, we're not indicting, guess what the DA does next? They impanel a different grand jury. And if that grand jury says, no, you're crazy, we're not going to let you do that, they impanel another grand jury. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking from personal experience. Been there 25 years ago when they did this kind of stuff. Now, I never got actually indicted, but I had a corrupt DA that came after me when I was a state rep with all kinds of crazy baloney stuff in order to have a political prosecution to get rid of the people that they don't like. And that same DA goes after Tom DeLay. You might remember that name. He was House Majority Leader in the United States Congress. Great guy. Did an incredible job for pro-life. He was a champion for conservative issues. Well, this DA goes after him, can't get a grand jury to indict him, starts another grand jury, does the same thing to Rick Perry when he was governor of Texas. I mean, that's what they do, folks. So what I'm telling you is this is not a new game plan. They've been doing this for 25 years at least, started right here in Austin, Texas, where I am. I was one of their test cases, so this is personal to me. Where they use the corruption of a district attorney's office to go after political opponents and take them out. And now they are doing that to Donald Trump. This is made up stuff. They are literally making up the law as they go. So step back, and when I say two-tier justice system, what do we mean? Step back and look at who gets prosecuted and who doesn't. So the Biden family flaunts their corruption. We all know, we've all seen the laptop, we've seen the images, it's all out there for everybody to know. This is a family, the Biden family, who made millions and millions of dollars trading on Joe Biden's power as vice president at the time, and then later, even after he was no longer vice president. They used the family's political strings and power. Joe Biden even bragged about it, talked about how he got that prosecutor over there in Ukraine fired. And I mean, just all the things that they've done. The Biden family has been blatant about their corruption, and nothing happens to them. No one prosecutes. No one investigates. Well, maybe that now there's finally a Congress that's investigating the Hunter Biden story, but the FBI just tables it, hides it, prevents you from being able to talk about it. Then they collude with big tech to prevent citizens from talking about it, to prevent news outlets from being able to expose it in the presidential election of 2020. It was an absolute banana republic, third world country hack job to get Joe Biden into the White House as a corrupt family who we could not even talk about without being canceled from social media. Okay, that's how bad this two-tier justice system is. This is what happens when you remove God and religion and morality. Anything goes, Everything's okay, and if you have the power, you use it. And that's what the Department of Justice has been doing with all these woke leftists in control over there. Same at the FBI, and now throughout the White House, and then, of course, on the local level, the Soros-funded DAs now going after the President of the United States, former President of the United States. Donald Trump is being arraigned right now in a courtroom because we removed God and religion and morality from the culture. Some of you may say, oh, Rick, you're connecting dots. Man, I wish we had the time to go through. Again, you remove religion and morality. There is no right and wrong. Everybody does whatever they feel is right or what the Bible talks about. They did whatever was right in their own eyes. And that's what this local DA is doing. He's doing what is right in his own eyes because it gains him popularity, gains him political power, allows the Democrats to try to destroy Donald Trump. It ain't going to work, folks. I don't believe it's going to work. I think it's making Donald Trump more popular every day. I think the fact that they're doing this is ensuring that Donald Trump will be the nominee for the Republicans and he will be president of the United States again in January of 2025. This is a throw me in the briar patch moment, folks. They're throwing Donald Trump in the briar patch. They are taking a scrapper that knows how to fight these kind of fights, and they are picking the fight with him. They're poking the bear with him. They've thrown everything at this man you could possibly throw at him, and he keeps coming back, and he doesn't give up. And his family endures the punishment for you and for me. They're dealing with it. Donald Trump could have avoided all of this by simply not running again. And I don't mean to, you know, I'm not advertising or campaigning for Donald Trump. I'm pointing out to you because there's things I don't like about Donald Trump. And I frankly think Ron DeSantis is fantastic and would, you know, be a better president probably in the long run before it's all over. But for this moment in time, God has somehow, for some reason, used, just like he's using Kid Rock, just like he used Cyrus, just like he used all these people throughout the Bible, he used Donald Trump to become, in my opinion, the fourth greatest president in the history of America. And I didn't think he would use him again. I didn't think Donald Trump would be back and end up being president again. I think what's happening right now at this moment in Manhattan, in that courtroom, this arraignment of Donald Trump is virtually going to guarantee his reelection. And he is going to be the bull in the China closet with a scorched earth opportunity to destroy the left. So mark my words, write it down. Take this program, remember the date, April 4th at 1:56 p.m. Texas time. Rick Green said, because of what's happening right now in that courtroom in New York, Donald Trump will be president again, and it will be a scorched earth, bull in the China closet 4 years, where he will decimate the left's hold over the federal government. He will clean out the swamp. He will drain the swamp. What they're doing right now, they're emboldening him. They're empowering him. So they're showing you, this is why this is so important, they're showing you that we have become a banana republic. They're showing you on every news outlet in the country right now, on every news website right now, the headline and the pictures are revealing to the rest of the American people that didn't already know this, that America has become a two-tier justice system and that these big cities with these Soros-funded DAs are banana republics where you are not safe even if you follow the law. You are not safe, and if you do anything that gives them the opportunity to come after you, they will, while they ignore their own people and their political allies. Why is Hillary Clinton not on trial right now? Why did they not go after her for the Steele dossier? Why was she able to just pay a fine for her supposed campaign finance violations? But yet, Donald Trump is going to be indicted, or has been indicted, and is now going to apparently go on trial. It's all fantasy land. They're making it up as they go. The legal basis for what they're going after him right now, we didn't even get into that. It's all connecting dots that don't exist. When even Alan Dershowitz, a left-wing, you know, Harvard professor, says that not only have they indicted a ham sandwich, they're now going to probably get a conviction on a ham sandwich because even though they're making this stuff up, that's the kind of juries they get in New York. It'll all be thrown out on appeal. Trust me. Donald Trump, it's not going to prevent him from running for president. It's going to guarantee that he will be president. Mark my words. We'll see. We'll see. All right, folks. Got to run. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.